Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Amy Masson.
Our guest today is Naoko Takano, joining us from Tokyo. She works for Automattic and is a full-time contributor to the WordPress Polyglots community teams. Welcome, Naoko.
Hi.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
So, hi, I'm Naoko. I started using WordPress actually back in 2003 when it was version 0.72, I remember. And how I got started was I was just looking around the web and blogging was starting to, you know, kind of become popular. And I had a blog I was reading I liked, and he was using movable type at the time. So I tried to install it and I managed to do that. I was kind of learning web design, but I wasn't doing that as a my full-time job. And I used it for a while, and after maybe a couple of months, as I was writing blog posts on my own, I got really frustrated with the templating system, because I like to tweak the theme, but it took so long to rebuild the static pages it was publishing. So I again looked around and tried a bunch of PHP-based blogging CMSs, and somehow I really liked WordPress the best compared to all other things that were available at the time. So I think in maybe 5 months after I started blogging, I switched to WordPress, and after that, I discovered this WordPress community that was writing things in Japanese. And back to my background, I was living in the US at the time, and I was blogging in Japanese because I guess that was my outlet for writing in Japanese, which I didn't have. And I kind of met these people online and started translating for WordPress documentation and the strings in the core, and maybe not plugins at the time, but that started me to get involved in the community online. And I started also organizing events from still living in the States, but we met once in a while when I went back to Japan. And in 2008, I helped organize WordCamp Tokyo, the first WordCamp in Japan. And the next year, we invited Matt Mullenweg, and he came to speak in Japanese WordCamp. And then he asked me if I'd like to help with Automattic in a support position for international audience. And I got the job, and I've been working for Automattic since then.
Wow.
And so when did you leave the US to go back to Japan?
That was end of 2010. In the beginning of 2011, I came back, which was, I think, after a year and a half, I worked for Automattic. And since I had a flexibility for my work, I just moved.
And so you were already working at Automattic before you left?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Wow, it's amazing.
It's such an incredible story. What kind of things were you blogging about when you were doing your Japanese blog?
So I still have the same blog. I changed the changed around domain, but you can still kind of see it if you read the Japanese. It was really about nothing at the time. Everybody was writing about just like news you found online, or you know, things you did on that day, because there was no Twitter, I don't think. We didn't have Twitter, so it was like kind of Twitter, Facebook, kind of, you know, everyday, you know, findings and thoughts, very personal stuff. Yeah.
I am just looking at one of your very old posts from February 9th, 2004. It says, "I can't believe it. I won the first place for the WordPress CSS competition." That is so amazing. You just dived right in.
Yeah. I remember it was like a long time ago. There was only a few files in themes, WordPress themes, and there's a CSS competition where you only change the CSS to change the look of the theme. And yeah, I think that really helped me realize, you know, oh, people, if I publish something, people use it, and it's really fun to, you know, how people use what I make. And that's kind of, you know, my starting point where I really got involved in open source world, I think.
And that's what I love about open source, is you don't even realize how many people are going to be affected by the little things that you might do.
Yeah, that's what drives me still every day, that people use what I did, maybe sometimes for myself, and people find it useful. And it's kind of amazing that everybody can do that, and everybody can help each other. And you don't have to do it for yourself, like everything for yourself. And that's pretty easy.
I know you've been organizing events for WordPress for a long time. What's the most recent one you were involved in?
I helped organize WordCamp Japan in the last week of June 20th to June 26th. It was a week long WordCamp.
A week long, and that was virtual?
Yes, online. Yeah, fully okay. Online.
How was the attendance on that? What was that like?
So we had 1380 registration.
The
end. Yes, and we streamed the YouTube videos for 2 days. The first day and then last day were session days, and I think that in total maybe they were watched 6,000 times. You know, like people watch multiple times, but that was pretty good attendance. Yeah.
Wow. And were you involved in planning of the WordCamp Asia that was canceled right before COVID?
Yes. So that was in 2019, we started planning for WordCamp Asia, which was supposed to happen in February 2020.
Yeah.
And it was the first WordCamp that was canceled due to COVID-19. And it was just a early time when the news was spreading, and it was only affecting Asia at the time. And we happened to be in a position where it was very difficult decision. And actually, Matt was involved in the decision, and he made the right decision. You know, looking back, it was I'm very glad we didn't, you know, we didn't do it at the time. But since it was so early and we didn't know anything, you know, so much about COVID, and it was the first one that was canceled, it was very hard to put an end to it. And almost a year and a half after that, we still don't know when we can do it. You know, we can actually do the event again. So it was very tough.
Well, yeah. I know there's so much work and so much time went into planning that. And then, you know, it had to be canceled kind of at the last minute. And, you know, I know it was hard for all the people that had, you know, made travel plans, but for the organizers that had put so much of your life into organizing, that must have been just heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so close. I think it was like two weeks. Some people are already like traveling to go there mm-hmm. ahead of time. So, it was very close to the date, and things were, you know, very like feeling like it's coming to happen. It's going to happen very soon. So that was very hard. And we had to do a lot of extra work to finish up the work that we started. And that was like kind of like, you know, having losing a pet or something, losing,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Someone very close, just really sad and difficult, yeah, experience.
Well, and at the time, you just don't know, if you're making the right decision. Now, you know, a year later, it's like, obviously, that's what had to happen. But you know, nobody really knew just yet how mm-hmm. bad it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, yeah, but I think we learned a lot that the safety and, you know, making sure things like risk management is like is very important for as a WordCamp organizer. You know, it's our responsibility to not let things happen if we knew there's a big risk. So we learned a lot. And the year we organized the event, it was actually almost all virtual except for the local team that were in Thailand. We were like, some of us never met, still haven't met, and it was all online, you know, event organizing because we were all over the, in Asia. So I think we learned a lot of, you know, good communication online, and, you know, leading up to the year that we had to do it, you know, throughout our work and other event organization. I think we still gained a lot of, you know, community experience from organizing it.
Yeah, that's, I knew people who were planning to travel there, and it seemed like there were many people who came forward in the community to help mm-hmm. people to cover lost expenses.
Yes, yes.
And that was so beautiful. And having to be the first WordCamp to go down, you had to be the first, and that was just kind of sad that it was you, but everyone else followed after that. And I think it was 100%, of course, the right decision, not knowing, mm-hmm. but it was kind of amazing. And we, even though I wasn't planning to go, we were all watching. And, mm-hmm. and I just want to let you know that we were all feeling for you
mm-hmm.
and everyone who was involved, because we could, as I think the whole world community of WordPress was just like, wow, like that was, we were all felt the impact of that. So you were not alone in that feeling. And then Amy and Tracy and I were going to be going to WordCamp Europe. And I think we were still holding out hope. Well, maybe this is over in 6 weeks, a couple months.
2 weeks lockdown and we're home free.
We're home. Yeah, mm-hmm. we just locked down and we just shut it down and then we're good. And 2 weeks, maybe four, maybe six, maybe eight. Maybe we could do it in eight.
And we still don't even know if next year we'll be able to do things.
Yeah, now we're more cautious.
Now we're more cautious.
Talking about next year.
Yeah.
I'm ready to just go and give myself another booster. I'm, you know, just load me up, give me all the different variations of the vaccine. I'll be super vaccinated.
She's going to be superwoman by the end of this. She'll be glowing green a little bit, but just a spine. But she'll start wearing a cape though.
Super immune.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talked about community and how the process of even doing this, planning this WordCamp, even though it was canceled, helped build community. And you mentioned in your submission form to us about your biggest challenges with interpersonal communication and team building. And that's a challenge for so many of us. And in having to be in the role that you're in Automattic and doing the kinds of things you do, I find that to be challenging. It's probably why I'm a freelancer. I can pick and choose, you know, how and when I interact and work with people. But when that's your job, you really have to learn a lot. And so talk to us about, in being in that role, what can you tell us about your wisdom from your learnings about interpersonal communication and working in teams?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was once a freelancer, and I really longed for working as a team. And you know, there's a good and bad side of it, but I guess I really enjoy, even with the difficulties of, you know, working with others, I find it to be one of my strengths, or something maybe people don't tolerate a lot. I feel like I am able to handle with patience. And the reason is, I think, is the experience. So I organized my first WordCamp in 2008 in Japan, and since then I've been seeing a lot of different teams, different WordCamp teams, and polyglots, I've organized Translation Day. And through the experience, I find it very, it's never easy to work with others, as you all know. But I think that the difficulty is also a really good learning experience, because as a WordPress community, that's the only way we can get things done. Because especially with the translation community, there are so many people who help little by little, but so many people who work on their own independently for a plugin or theme to make a product in their language, you know, to make it usable in their language. But at the same time, they're under the local team. They have to follow the guidelines of the language. Seeing people start helping little by little, but combining the effort to make it even better, make things even better, I find it very interesting that I can help people work together to get bigger things done together. Yeah.
If people are going to work on a team, what would you be your advice for how you can be yourself to be the best team member? Like, what do people need to set aside or bring forward?
I think for the seeing a lot of people who are very talented and capable of doing things on their own, I sometimes see them having hard time working with others for the first time, especially WordPress community is so diverse. They might work well with their coworkers, but they might see different type of people they've worked together before. And my advice is to be open and understand that they have different background. It's pretty, you know, straightforward. And you might think you realize that, you understand that, but I think a lot of time everybody falls into this situation where you think you don't understand the other person and you're doing the right thing, but without understanding the other person's background. Yeah, and you can never fully understand the other person's, you know, what they are going through or what they have, but just to know that they have different situation than your own, or different knowledge, different, you know, just everything that you don't have is also a blessing and the reason that we work as a team. We bring in different things to the table.
So it's like you have to appreciate what each person has to offer. Rather than it's not, you know, you have to recognize each person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for people that don't know, can you tell us what Polyglots is?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So Polyglots is one of Polyglots team is one of WordPress make WordPress teams, and we translate WordPress core plugins, themes, documentations, everything that are written mostly originally in English into about 200 languages available, but there are about 70 active locales that are making WordPress core 100% available all the time.
My understanding was that all the translation of WordPress was done on a volunteer basis. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So especially for core and major plugins, a lot of people help out to make it usable in their language. Some plugins that are commercially available are sometimes translated by the plugin owner. But they're more rare, so most of the products are translated by volunteers.
Are you translating more than just WordPress official, like automatic plugins? Does the team ever work on any of the other plugins on the repository for translations that are, you know, do people volunteer to translate just plugins that they don't own?
So for myself, I work for automatic, and I actually don't translate for automatic plugins anymore. Yeah. I used to, but automatic also hires a team of professional translators, and they provide translations for automatic products. And for about 15 languages, that happens. And for other languages, locales, advantages, still translate Jetpack and WooCommerce and other plugins. And for myself, I mostly review other people's translations for plugins, and sometimes Core and Gutenberg is also translated by a very active volunteer in Japan. And I usually don't really have to touch anything, and it's always up to date. So people who use that plugin or even Core, they're the most active translators usually.
You talked about getting people involved through getting other people involved in community and really being able to grow the community. Can you talk to us about that and how you work to get more people involved, and maybe a little bit about diversity and what you've seen perhaps over the past decade or so in terms of one thing we've talked to a lot of WordCamp organizers on this podcast is about how they've seen the women speaker demographics change over the years. What have you witnessed in the community in terms of diversity?
Mm-hmm. So in terms of getting people, more diverse people involved, I always find translation is a really good gateway to get involved. And then that was really true for me, even though I knew some of the web design, development skill. I never felt myself as a developer or, a professional developer type of person, but I felt very comfortable helping with things that I'm comfortable, which is translation and even organization. And I think a lot of people feel that way, at the first they want to do something but they are not sure, so they can start with something they don't feel intimidated and over time they find people they know in the community, and they become more active. And I've seen a lot of people become more involved that way, starting from just volunteering at a WordCamp or translating one plugin. And from there, they meet other people who are already doing other kind of things, and they realize that they can do other things and feel more comfortable. So I think it's always important to have multiple ways to get involved, which really WordCamp and I think translation really provide, meetups also, just getting to people to come and meet other people and really see the details of what goes on, rather than some people are very comfortable with just seeing GitHub issue or track ticket, and they can just dive in, which is also great. There's always documentation for development too, but people who are especially not familiar with open source community, they're not sure what to where to start with. So I think it's important to have that kind of welcoming environment for people to get started. And diversity in the community, I've seen for Japanese community. So I'm female, and I've been online since early days, where video or even avatar was not around. So I've never felt myself as out of place, because people never really cared about, you know, well, cared is not good or, but never recognized gender or the kind of identity, because you were just this username. And my username used to be NAO now, which still is, but a lot of people thought I was a guy because names ending O in many countries is a male name. So I guess people never really thought about that. And as we started doing more face to face events and avatars become more visible, maybe because I was already in the community, I never felt I was treated differently because of that gender or anything. But I also saw a lot of women being uncomfortable being in the on stage or even coming to events because there are more men. I'm talking about Japanese events, but so I felt being around and just showing that we are here is a good incentive for women to get involved. And also we have a lot of very old contributors in the community too, who are organizing meetups and doing some other contributions. And there are some younger people who are maybe 15 years old. In the past, we had helped events and development too. And the way I think of it is that I, as I mentioned, the diversity, background difference in people, I don't think thinking too much about the attributes of the person is never productive. So even though we need to be mindful in many cases when there's inequality in involvement from different group of people. When people come, I try to see them as themselves, not there's an older person or there's women, there's such and such. I try to treat them as who they are and just let them be themselves.
One of the first events, and it wasn't a WordPress event, it was just an open source event locally that a friend of mine was organizing, and he was really, really working hard to get women into, he's a big feminist and he wants women, and he just couldn't get women to this event. So I went to one, and I felt so out of place because I was the only woman there. And I just don't know, and when I started going to WordPress events, there were more women, but I still felt intimidated because, there were less. And I feel like every time I go to something, there's more and more women involved and more women in roles of, speaking and organizing. And I wonder if, the push to get women to do the speaking and to be involved and to be visible, how much of a difference that's made, mm-hmm. For women everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So, you all know Jill is doing the diverse speaker training mm-hmm. across the WordPress community, and we have a great contributor in Japan called Junko Nukaga, and she's running the program also in Japanese community. And she's been I think she's had at least 3 or 4 workshops for WordCamp speakers, and for this WordCamp Japan too, she ran the workshop and had some people speak in as a result of the workshop. So I think it's just the encouragement, saying that you're doing great, and you should come and visible. I think it's not that people are not capable of doing what even coming to the event or speaking at the event, being a team lead of a community type of thing. I think it's just a small encouragement from, you know, from a side, like sending them a message, sending, you know, them an encouragement publicly. I think those small things will really help. I think what people need is that kind of little push that they're okay, they should be doing what they want to do. And that's the things I try to do in small ways that but since they may be direct messages might be invisible, so it's good to, you know, bring it up like this and, you know, encourage everybody to do that also. Yeah.
Who's been your greatest supporter for what you've done?
I always say, I always bring up Andrea Middleton as a reason I'm still around and being here, because she's a really great leader. And I mentioned Junko, and she's, you know, also a deputy for our WordPress community team, and she's also a great peer and a great person to work with. Also all the WordCamp Asia organizers, I've seen great talents and just really great community mindset in them. So I was several people.
Yeah, Andrea is pretty amazing. I got to talk to her once and it was so enjoyable. I was doing WordCamp Denver keynote and I was so nervous, and I was doing, it wasn't actually a keynote. I was doing a talk after I did a keynote, but I was, it was on what is WordPress. And she took so much time to explain to me everything about WordPress, the community, automatics role, everything. And she was amazing and such a fun person and so warm. It's so great. Who wouldn't want to work with Andrea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's always have really good, great perspective, long-term vision, which I wish I could learn a lot more from her. And I think the reason I always think WordPress community program is great is that she and also Jim Milo, placed a really basic box of what the community team is now, and the way they try to distribute the contribution and giving other people power to do their own thing is really a really good spirit for how we can expand the community.
I was noticing that before you worked for Automattic, you were a web designer. And that was while you were still in the US.
Yes, yes.
So what kind of websites were you making? Who were your clients?
So I did, in between my freelance days, I worked for ad agency called Campbell Eward. I don't think they exist anymore. I think they merged into another company. But for that company, I was making sites like Chevy.com and Navy.com, that kind of like a national client site. And I was a front-end engineer. And yeah, as a freelancer, I mostly made like small sites for local clients and sometimes Japanese clients. And I don't think none of them are very like familiar names, but like a local shop, you know, local drapery shop website and coach website, that kind of things.
And were you using WordPress for those sites?
Yes, yes, all the time, all the time, yes.
And did you do anything else, or was it just WordPress?
I think it was pretty much all WordPress. And sometimes I was asked to do Cake PHP or a few other things as help, like maybe another like online shop tool. I don't remember, but mostly web. WordPress. And the reason I wanted to do freelance again after working for a company is that I wanted to do more WordPress work, which was not always the case for that.
You couldn't get enough WordPress.
I know, yeah. 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 And I was, when I was working for the company in the US, I was also writing Japanese book about WordPress. And the company encouraged me to do it as long as I do it outside of work. And they even gave me bonus for publishing, even though it had nothing to do with their work. So yeah, I was kind of like, they probably knew that I really wanted to go into WordPress more.
Isn't that amazing that you discovered that so early and it just became your career, and what a blessing that is.
Indeed. Yeah, I don't know where I would be without, you know, meeting WordPress at the time. It pretty much changed my entire course of career in life.
I think that a lot of us in this field that are in the WordPress community can say the same thing. I was a teacher before I started making websites for money. And, you know, if I hadn't found WordPress when I did, and if I hadn't started building WordPress websites, I don't know that I would still be doing that now. I think I would probably be back in the classroom teaching. And, you know, it's a noble profession and I cannot be more grateful for teachers, but I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I still see that happening to many people discovering WordPress and, you know, that changing life. And that's probably why I really enjoy doing what I do, helping, you know, a possibility of helping those people who are like me. I was very frustrated with not like being able to do what I wanted to do. And now I feel like I'm very lucky to be doing what I enjoy and, you know, also helping people who were like me, you know, at the time. And it's always, because you feel so much, you can, it's like nothing you can exchange for.
I think that's why we like having this podcast, because it has changed so many women's lives, in particular, like being able, I feel like WordPress has given women an avenue into tech that maybe is a little bit harder in other kinds of software platforms. You know, it's very accessible, I think, for all the women that we've talked to. They didn't have to have a computer science degree to become technical.
Yeah, at the time when I started, I was living in the States and I had no like background in actually in translation or community management or anything. And there were places that needed me for, you know, doing what I do. And it really is, I think it is always going to be that way, that WordPress will need people to do, for people to try their best to make things happen. And that's always a satisfying feeling, because you learn something new and you can help others and you can also feel good about yourself being able to do something that you couldn't do before. And I had really nothing much in the background, in terms of the background, but I think WordPress always enables people to come and help, and that changes people's lives. And yeah, it's amazing.
Wow. And when we can go back, or when we're having in-person events, what is like the WordPress community like in Japan compared to in the US, since you've experienced both?
Mm-hmm. So I just finished the organizing online event, and it was interesting how some things are similar to in-person event. And in a way, it was good for people to be able to join from anywhere in the world. But as an in-person event, I think I'll see more. I think people will make the best use of their in-person time, try to do things that they couldn't do online, like not just, you know, sitting down and listening to lecture. Maybe they'll try to incorporate interactive, or team building, or, you know, more community building activities, because that's what people long for now. Compared to US, I don't know too much about the US WordCamp organizing, but I used to run small meetup group when I lived in the US, and I think it was like smaller in, you know, because Tokyo is a big city. But there's always, I think, because we're used to running events online, which are very easy to do and less preparation required. Maybe there will be more events that just happen at small scale without having to book a venue and, you know, just borrow a office space and gather a few people to talk about something. I hope that will happen because that's something we can't do right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a meetup organizer, it's been a lot easier to do the Zoom for sure. And we had our first in-person social time, but we've lost our space because they closed down due to COVID. And so when I do go back to in-person, when our community does, I don't know where, you know, I'll have to find a new venue and there's a lot to that, but our little social event this week, people loved seeing each other and they were all smiles and there was so much tenderness. There was so much softness because everyone kind of knew like, oh, this has been a hard time. And so everyone was very gentle with each other and it was quite lovely and just the sweet quality about it. And I hope we carry that through that we realize how precious life is.
And I don't think we realize how hard this last year has been until you start getting back out there and doing things with other people. Like we went on a trip for the first time in, you know, a year and a half and we rode on a plane and we went in restaurants and we hadn't eaten in a restaurant in a year and a half. And I almost cried because it was just, you know, I missed it, but you don't realize what you're missing until you do it again. It wasn't the same kind of realization. So I'm hoping that, you know, in 2022, we can really get some WordCamps going in person and I can see all my friends again.
And I really hope with Japan that the vaccine rollout happens as quickly as possible, because I imagine it's just even tougher. You did so well to begin with. And then now to be lingering in this liminal state for so long is pretty challenging, but we're going to be rooting for you. And I hope my son will be there in the fall and that you can have your meetups by the fall too, would be so amazing. And we wish you the best of luck with the Olympics and with everything. And I hope I could come to a meetup in Japan, even if it was all in Japanese. It would just be fun to sit in a room with a bunch of Japanese WordPressers.
I'll make sure that will happen when you come. I can talk to wherever you are going to.
Okay.
Organizer will be happy to welcome you. And anybody who's coming to Japan, if you have a topic you want to bring in, I'm sure organizers are very happy to host a meetup. And depending on, you know, the language capacity, but we can do one online. If anybody wants to come online event, we're happy to, you know, welcome you. So let us know.
Thank you.
Well, it's been so wonderful having you with us today. Before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Hi. So my website is naoko.blog and my Twitter handle is @naokomc.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.